Just great. Really do. Been looking forward to coming to that actually. Really have. I mean, not many people look forward to coming to Northampton, but I could say the same about Derby, couldn't I? You know, but we've really been looking forward to it, sort of seeing some old friends who are getting getting better looking, the more mature they get, and new face as well. So really good sort of to see some new folks and that. And just been looking forward to being here. We're here the whole day today, so we're hopefully looking for a really good lunch and so on. both Nessa and I are going to share a little bit this morning, a couple of little video things as well, just to keep it interesting. I felt like, just with our conversation with Mark, I just really sense that God is wanting us to continually see ourselves as moving on, right? So moving on is kind of being like, it's going to be a kind of an always there kind of thing for us as Christians. But I do feel there's times when God wants to say, guys, it's time, this is a time. It's a time for moving on. And sometimes that's a sense of moving a step up. Sometimes it's a sort of embracing what's yet to come. I mean, I love the kite picture, you know, that we can get sort of, that's what we're designed for, something which is like freedom and flying and all the rest of it. And then sometimes we get a bit stuck or whatever, and it's time to sort of like be free from things, to move on. And then there's a sense that, you know, God's been doing stuff. He had a great meeting last week, and Mark said, whatever you do, don't drop the ball this week. So but I have to say, our time of worship and singing this morning, it's just a sense of God's really close, I feel. And that's what he wants. He wants to be close to us. And, you know, there's a sense of we talk about intimate relationship. We actually just want, God wants to be close. He wants to be close to you, to me, to us, and to us together. And so we're going to talk about moving on. One of the pictures that you get, sometimes the Bible uses about life, is that life is like a race. And you're called to run your race. And it's like, you know, wherever you are, whatever stage you are at, there's this sense of like God's calling us to run your race and run it wholeheartedly and make sure you keep moving on. And then Paul towards the end, he says, and as for me, I've run the race. I've kind of like, I've fought the fight, I've finished, and I've kept going right through. And I think there's a challenge to many of us as Christians, certain stages of our life as well, and that is to keep moving on. There is a temptation to kind of go, well, how about just staying here for a bit? Or how about just settling? Or how about just kind of just remaining where we are? And I think God's calling us to say, no, actually, this is a time, season for moving on, individually and collectively as well. So we're going to read what might be quite familiar, a few verses to you. Nesta's going to read them for me because she reads better than I do. It's Philippians and chapter 3. And it's Apostle Paul, and he's writing to the Philippians, and he is saying, I've got all these kind of qualifications, all these things that I could say I've done, but actually I'm still looking to move on. And so if you just bear that in mind as we read these few verses, okay?
It's starting at verse
7,
chapter 3 of Philippians. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his suffering, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection of the dead. Not that I have already obtained this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining forward towards what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us, then, who are mature, should take such a view of things. And if on some points you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained.
Aren't they good verses? It's a fantastic kind of sentiment and spirit that Paul's coming out of there. And interestingly for me, is that Paul is not saying this at the beginning of his life. I think that'd be quite understandable to go, yeah, I'm going to forget what's gone before, not much. And I've got loads to do yet ahead. Interestingly, this is towards the very end of his life. And at that point still, he's saying, I'm actually forgetting what's gone before. I haven't obtained it all yet. All that God has called me to be and to do, I'm pressing on. So every now and again, these verses come back to me, and I always find them quite emotional, actually, quite meaningful, quite deep, and I find myself kind of. And then, not only that, I've got a CD at home, and I thought about bringing it, but it's a worship CD, but it's slightly different because it's from New Zealand, and the worship leader is a lady called Cindy Ruaka. I don't know if anybody else. But she's kind of very interesting as a worship leader because she's a Maori. And I don't know anything about Maoris, but they are like a warrior race. And if you ever watch the rugby and the All Blacks, and the beginning of the All Blacks, they kind of do this haka, you know? And it's like, you know, that's kind of abbreviated version. And it's designed actually to put fear into the opposition. I want to tell you it works as well. It really is quite good at that. And there's a kind of a warrior-ness about them. Cindy has written a worship song. The reason I haven't brought it is because I've played it otherwise, but it's about 9 minutes long. And it starts off kind of just quietly, if you like, and it goes, I press on, and it begins to be just this call that Paul is calling out to God. So this is me. This thing builds and builds, and it's got drums going, and it becomes a war song. It becomes a triumphant declaration. I press on, and it's like she's yelling it out. And of course, I mean, I'm listening to this, and it kind of, I well up. I can't help it. You know, I'm kind of get sort of. So the trouble is, I listen to this in the car when I'm driving, and I'm turning it up louder and louder and louder, and I've got tears running down my eyes. I'm yelling, I press on. Of course, you know what you do. The louder it goes, the faster you go. I'm going to get pulled in one day, aren't I? You know, by the police. But actually, many of us, whatever the stage of life that we're at, or our own journeys, many different journeys in this room, different races, if you like, that we've got. Just being personal for a second, Nestor and I have been through probably the most turbulent last 12 months of all of our life. It's kind of had some major sort of shifts and changes for us, and things we didn't see coming. Anybody ever kind of like got through life and found things they didn't see coming, you know? And you think, oh, but things happen, and things have changed, and things have changed for us. I want to tell you this, when you go back to these verses, you go like, actually, this is really meaningful for us right now. Well, never mind, whatever's happened, as for me, it's like Joshua did exactly the same thing. Do you know when he did it? He did it at the end of his life as well. He said, as for me and my house, we're making a choice now. We're going to serve the Lord. We're going to press on. So this is actually quite sort of important and personal for us. And I just really want to sort of throw a few things out here today to say, how do we move on? How do we keep moving on? Even when things sometimes don't turn out the way you thought they would, how do you keep pressing on, moving on? There has to be something in us, I said. God, actually, for me, and for me and for Nesta, for us and for our church, it's more than just a shuffle on. It's more than just a kind of, oh, I guess we've got to kind of get over this. There is this sense of, I'm putting behind me what I need to put behind me. I am straining for what is ahead, leaning towards it, and I'm pressing on into all that God has got ahead for me. And I'm hoping that that's something in you this morning that says, yeah, amen to that. That's what we want to do personally, but also collectively. You see, I think God brings us together, not just so that we can have a bit of friendship here and there. Actually, he joins us so that when the Holy Spirit blows, or when the Holy Spirit comes, the Spirit actually comes to us and through us. I don't know if you understand or appreciate that. The body of Christ is actually us joined together so that life comes to us and goes through us. The whole point is, yes, you can have a relationship with Jesus, and he said, yes, here's how you have my relationship with me. I want to plug you into my body, and my life is going to flow through one another. And that's why it's so important that we understand. Our revelation understanding about the church is not somewhere to go to on a Sunday, it's where life flows one to another. And, you know, if I got you all to hold hands this morning and say, you know, life is going to flow one to another. I've got a little video just as a little illustration of this. This is some grandchildren of mine, of which we've got a few. And they decided they were going to have a little experiment. Now, basically, anybody under 35 here, don't try this at home kind of thing. Basically, what they decided they wanted to do, going on a walk into the country, was to find out if one of them grabbed hold of an electric fence and they held hands with each other, okay, would the life flow? One through to another. Good experiment, you think? Okay, so I'll see you. Some people, there's a time, you know, where it's like, in order for you to fulfill who God's called you to be. So in the last 12 months, we have actually sent people out from Derby to Sudan, to Estonia, to Kazakhstan, to Bangladesh, and those kind of things. Because those people are saying, like, I need to move on. And in order to do so, there's a geographical move involved in that. We've actually had, just very recently, one family, they lived in Derby, and they'd moved half a mile. And I'm going, well, why are you doing that? And they said, well, actually, our missional community and what we want to be involved in missionally, we feel just too detached just there. We feel like we need to make a move in order to move really into what God's got for us. Geographical move is a possibility. I do need to put a warning on that. Some people think that just by a move, everything gets sorted. And actually, that is not the case. So there's not an assumption that just, all right, I'm a bit bored here, I'm fed up, a move will sort it. Usually, those kind of motives, you take your problem with you, and you end up there the other end. So, but geographical move is definitely one of the ways. Secondly, how do you move on? I think you can, I need to be careful here as well, emotionally. Now, I don't want to sort of in any way sort of diminish what might be major issues for people. But I do feel like there's a time when God says to us, look, you've got some hurts, or you've got some hang-ups of some kind, or you've got some issues that are kind of there from the past. It's time to move on. It's time to deal with those things and move on. And I'd say if you need some help with that, get some help, get some prayer. Actually, every chain is broken in Jesus. So we should not be finding ourselves chained up with stuff from the past. That's not minimising it at all. But actually it does mean that we can be free. And for some folks you need to be just like, it's time. You need to move on. It's time to move on emotionally. Put it behind you now, move on. Get healing, get sorted, get help if you need. But there needs to be time to move on. I do, you know, obviously I'm in the Christian world. I do find people who get quite stuck sometimes. And it's either an issue that's happened, something that's happened to them, and sometimes you think that's really bad. But actually, you do need to move on. And then every now and again, we met somebody just a little while ago, and a young couple, and it was the young wife, and she just looked one of these together kind of people, you know, really kind of like sort of secure, confident, you know, the eyes are the windows of the soul. You come around going, you know, looking into people's eyes. She just had bright eyes, you know, a lovely sort of clear spirit. And I thought, oh, you know. And then she started to tell us her story. And I can't tell it, you know, because her story was probably one of the worst I've ever heard. Of abuse and all kinds of terrible, terrible things. And I go, gosh, you just do seem so sort of together, if you want to say it. And she said, well, look, life's too short. And you just have to deal with things in God and move on. And I feel like there's just something of a challenge and an encouragement to go, guys, don't get stuck on emotionally getting hung up on stuff. There are times to move on from that. Third one is, I've got to be careful with this one. I need to be careful. Theologically.
Ooh.
And fourthly, the careful bit about this is I have to say that I think we can move on in our theology, in how we think about God. And I actually don't necessarily say all the things I did believe 25 years ago, I believe the same now. Mm-hmm. There is a moving on with this, you know, there is concrete solid ground that you can't mess with, and you can't go, I'm going to make up my own theology, I'm going to make up what I think, you know, my God will be like. No, actually we've got 2,000 years of church history that help us with that. And if I was wanting to do it this morning, I could get something like the Apostles' Creed and go like, this has been formed for us and helps us, and we go, no, this is our solid ground, we really don't mess with this. This is who God is, this is who Jesus is, this is what our foundation of our faith is. But around that, I think there is stuff that we go, I used to think that, and actually, I have moved on in my theology, in my thinking. I wonder if any of us has actually stayed absolutely still and believes everything that they believed at once and doesn't believe, you know. There was a time I didn't believe in something called baptism of the Spirit. So I'm glad I moved on, and my theology moved on. So anyway, there's a little one to think about. Say, there's times I think, I'm moving on in how I view my faith and God and all that. Hopefully it's a deepening and a maturing and a growing as well. And then the fourth one is simply kind of summing up of all those, spiritually moving on. And that really is kind of like about wherever we are, wherever we are on our journey. It could be a number of some of those other things I've mentioned, but it's like actually God saying, I want you to keep moving on spiritually. That means stepping out, moving on, growing, being more open to what God wants to do with you, and I'll come back to one or two things there in a minute. But then there's also this idea about moving on together. And I love the church. I think we should all love the church. I think the church is sometimes for people hard to love. And you get a lot of people today going, I love Jesus, I just don't like the church. I don't do church, you know. And I'm going, actually, I can understand what you're saying, but it is so wrong. It is so wrong. Because for all its faults, and believe me, there are plenty, for all the weaknesses, it's the bride of Christ. Mm-hmm. It is a beautiful, in his eyes, he looks at the church and goes like, actually, I love this church. It's the body of Christ. It's his expression here on earth. And I think the church today is not something just to love and appreciate, but it's about moving on always together. Whereas people were moving on. I don't think anybody would actually want to join a church that says, come and join us, we're going nowhere. You know, come and join us, we're ecstatic. We're going to be just like we are from now on, and that's it. Somehow it doesn't have a ring of something about it. But, hey guys, we're moving on. Come and join us. That's got something different too. We're on a sense of mission. We're on a call from God. We're moving forward as a people. We're growing, we're maturing, we're changing, we're developing. Something's happening and we're moving forward. And I have this kind of, the idea of movement to me is a kind of a little seed I think I've had for a long time, and it niggles away at me that more than just seeing a person become a Christian, more than just seeing a nice church that's doing quite well, the seeds of movement are the sense of something where people, there's a sense of movement in there. Because I think God's called us to that, to be part of a movement. And the idea of movement to me is wonderful, because movement is where it starts to go, where things are moving outwards, some kind of chain reaction, some kind of crescendo thing, where it's going out of control. I think a lot of church leaders would like to keep it in control, but actually the idea for me, the dream is, hey, it's getting out of control. There's a sense of movement, moving out and moving on. And being movemental. And the thing about God is, he takes almost always the same sort of scenario. He takes small beginnings, and if it's got the seed of movement in it, it's amazing what can start to flow out from it. So he says, here's a story about five loaves and a couple of fish. It's like, that'll do. Small beginnings. He says, I want a mustard seed of faith. That'll do. You know, 12 guys that hang around Jesus. You know, that'll do. Small beginnings. We've seen it in our lifetime over and over again. Small beginnings. Something starts. And someone gets hold of something in God. So we're not just talking about the church now. We're talking about the sense of God calling something that begins to be movemental. So a guy called John Kirkby a few years ago gets a passion and a heart from God that as an evangelist in his heart, really, but he sees the crippling effect of debt on people. And so he starts to form something to help people. It's called CAP. And he forms CAP, and before you know it, CAP becomes a movement. And it's like spread and swept right across the nation and into other nations. I go, oh, that's a movement now. That's not just a little thing. And by the way, it's kind of one of those things that, you know, I never thought I'd have it in my lifetime, but I'm sort of driving along listening to Radio 2, as you do, you know. And onto Radio 2 comes Mr. Money Management, what's his name? Money Supermarket, Martin Lewis, and they're phoning into him about financial problems. And he said, I just listened to this one, and I can't believe it. He's going like, today I'm going to give you the same answer over and over again. The answer you're going to get is, you need to go to CAP, Christians Against Poverty. He's going like, because I'll tell you why, these are very, very proficient people who know what they're doing, but they'll care for you as well. They'll take an interest in you as well. And he said, so I'm going to say, if you're bothered about the word Christian on there, And most people went, no, if it helps me, I don't care, you know. And so there's something called street pastors. Mm-hmm. That started as a little thing in one town, mm-hmm. and in a city, and then it kind of spread out and multiplied. There is something called healing on the streets. There's something called food banks or tassels. You know, there's things that are started and become movemental. Mm-hmm. They kind of get like, well, they start going out there. And I'm going, isn't that something about what the gospel should be about? Something movemental. There's something there that goes. That's what it's designed for. Not just a little seed stays a little seed, but something starts to happen. And my faith, if you like, starts to rise. So I've got another little video, and this one is just about dominoes. So I like the idea of a domino kind of effect. But it's not the usual Guinness Book of Records, which I have to say is fantastic. But this is something called domino chain reaction. Do you want to see it as a prophetic picture, if you like?
Everybody knows about playing with dominoes, but what you may not know is that a domino can knock over another domino, which is about 1.5 times larger. So what I have here is a chain of dominoes. Each one is 1.5 times larger than the previous one. And the smallest domino is about 5 millimeters high and 1 millimeter thick. And I will carefully place it. And there are 13 dominoes. And the largest domino, it weighs about 100 pounds and is more than a meter tall. Ready? That was 13 dominoes. If I had 29 dominoes, the last domino would be as tall as the Empire State Building. Here we go.
Actually, you don't need to worry about knocking over the Empire State Building. Mm. You and I have got to go, what's the little thing that God's called us to be and to do?
Yes.
What is that? Mm. That little thing. Because God's actually said, I want you to do that. And then see what I can do. See what God can do. And I think the potential is just small beginnings of people who are willing to say, I'm willing to take on. Now, Paul talks about taking hold of that for which God had taken hold of him. And it's like, that thing, it might be just sort of, this is what God's called me to be, this is what God's called me to do. It just seems such a small thing. It just seems such a kind of tiny little thing. But when you're doing it in the sense of, I'm serving you, Lord, this is what you're calling me to do, it's like, God goes like, you see what I can do with 5 loaves and a couple of fish. Like, 3,000, 5,000, it depends how you read the numbers, you know, people are fed, and there's 100 times that amount left over at the end. Just watch what I can do, you know? And so there's something about that idea that we are called to be part of something movemental that goes beyond ourselves. And yet all God really says for us is, just find out your small things, small beginnings, the little things that tip things over. Mm-hmm. So we've got many stories, I think, and you've probably got your own stories. I could just tell you our best story, because anybody coming from another church always tells you their best story. And it always makes our church look quite good from a distance. So I don't want anybody visiting or anything like that. I can tell you lots of other stories as well. But our best story really is, I'd say it's about a couple called Adam and Karina, who have sown themselves into working cross-culturally. In Derby. Derby's a multicultural city. And over the years, we've seen a few people get saved here and there. We've seen a couple of Sikh people and a few Hindus and the Caliph. Never seen any Muslims. Never have seen a Muslim. It was like, that's the problem here. We're never going to see any Muslims ever saved. And then one got saved once. He's our son-in-law now. So we got one saved Muslim. Adam and Karina were giving themselves to sowing and sowing sewing, little kind of domino sewing into working with cross-cultural people. Now, in the last 10 years or so, Derby has been flooded with Iranians, Iraqis and Afghans. A whole load of them come in. So 2.5 years ago, we had one lady called Nina, who was she was a Christian from Iraq, isn't she? Iran. Okay. And two young Iranian guys came into the church, and I remember it because it's like it's two summers back, and it was like so we've gone like, and these two young guys got saved, and so we got three Iranians, Muslims, who were saved now in the church. Well, all I can tell you is the sort of sewing that had gone on. Adam and Karina's just nurturing, working with these couple. Others have come in to help that, really. But those three, over 2 years, have become 103 that we have in the church right now. 103. They counted them the other day. They went like this. There's 103 now that are basically around or in the church. 76 of them have made professions of faith to be followers of Jesus. They prefer follower of Jesus than to Christian. They said 39 of them have been baptized, and we actually hold them back from being baptized too quickly for various reasons. But all I can say is that was absolutely nothing to do with me. Absolutely nothing to do with me. But there was some sort of chain reaction just starts to happen. Now, we've been working, obviously, for years and years and years and years and not seen that. But every now and again, I just believe, I've got faith that we can start chain reactions. Mm-hmm. And it isn't anything really to do with us, except we're just tipping the first, we're there to tip the first one over. And so we've now got a whole congregation there. So some of our worship has to be in Farsi language up alongside that. We've got loads of people there on Sunday with headphones on translating. And they have their own gathering in the middle of the week, which is phenomenal. And I just felt like this is a move of God. And we pray for move of God. And yet somehow you kind of go, well, we just like to see a little bit of a move of God. Well, we've seen a little bit of a move of God. What it does is it fuels faith to say, actually, there's something movemental that God's after. More than just let's plant another church. Let's start a movement. Let's start a movement that churches plant churches, that plant churches. That Christians aren't just become Christians, but they become Christians who call others to become Christians, etc. And something, you know. So three statements very quickly from this passage in Philippians 3. And I've really done the first one. It's straining forward for that. Straining for that. Reaching forward. Each one of us, I think, has that sense of there's some reason why God saved me. The that for what I saved you for. That's the reason I got you. Give yourself to that. Give yourself to the call that God's put on your life. And I'm straining for that. Paul says I'm still straining for that. I haven't obtained it all. I've not really got it all yet. I look at Paul's record of what he's done. I went, I would be pretty satisfied with what I've just done. In fact, I'd be having a retirement thinking, I can now retire quite nicely and feel quite satisfied. He's going, never mind that. I'm straining for that. Not fulfilled it all. Not seen it all. Not obtained it all yet for what I have yet to do. So whatever it is, however you do that, so that's the first one, straining for that. The second point is forgetting what lies behind. And Nestor's just going to say a few things about this.
Recently, back in the summer, Mark and I were at a national athletics event watching one of our grandsons competing in high jump. And while we were waiting for his event, I was on the front row of the stadium, you know, like nanas have to be, front row, shouting for them. So my daughter said, you're not supposed to shout in high jump. I was watching the 100 metre race, and it was right in front of me, the finishing line was right in front of me, and I was watching this race, didn't know any of the people involved, but there was a clear leader in the race, but as he drew near to the finishing line, he was constantly looking behind, looking over his shoulder to see where all the others were, and I wanted to call to him and say, you're slowing down. Every time you look over your shoulder, you're slowing down. They're catching up fast. And you've only got a few more metres to go to the finishing line. Keep focused on ahead. And so I did a little medical analysis on what was going on there. And I came to the conclusion that the body realized that the head was facing a different direction from the rest of the body and went into protective mode and slowed down to save the person falling, bumping into something or whatever. And it occurred to me that sometimes we're like that, aren't we? Sometimes we want to strain forward, and a lot of the time we are pressing forward, pressing on. But then every now and then we're turning back, and as we do that, often we slow down. And I think sometimes memories from the past, I don't know if you're the same, but sometimes quite randomly a memory can be triggered for me. Now that's fine if it's a good memory, it's a happy memory of, you know, when our kids were small and we have a little happy memory and, oh, it was all idyllic, wasn't it? and we fool ourselves, yes, it was idyllic. 24/7, no sleep was nice, nothing. Sometimes it's a sad memory, isn't it? And it must have been a good 3 years after my mum had died, and I went into the post office, wasn't even thinking about her at that particular moment. And a woman that was the age my mum would have been came in wearing a coat that was identical to my mum's coat, but it was quite distinctive. It might even have been my mum's coat, because I gave it to the charity shop in Derby. And I'm overcome with grief. And I have to leave the post office feeling sort of silly, having waited endlessly in the queue. I just couldn't handle it. I had to just come out, because this grief had just come from nowhere, as it seemed, triggered by the sight of a coat. And sometimes, I don't know about you, but for me, sometimes words come back. If they're affirming words, that's great. And you can replay those nice things people have said that have encouraged you and strengthened you. Sometimes the other sort of words come back, don't they? And you start to feel a bit discouraged as you replay those words. And I just wondered, how do we forget those things that lie behind? What Paul says in this chapter, one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind. So how do we forget? And I think we have a choice as to whether we rekindle something at the moment that it comes into our head, particularly words or actions that have distressed us and set us back. We have a choice at that moment of entry whether we rekindle and replay them in our minds. And I think if we can choose two things, one, to deal with what is our responsibility, and Mark referred to some more challenging times we've had over the last 12 months, and the 3 years prior to that was an extremely challenging time too. And I went through personally a lot of frustration, a lot of hurt, a lot of rejection, a lot of disappointment, all that. And I was very grateful for a friend who came alongside me towards the end of that process and helped me to see what was my responsibility in dealing with that. And because I've got a very, like a photographic memory sometimes, I know exactly where I was standing when something was said. Sometimes it's helpful, sometimes that's not helpful. And I was able to visit, I've narrowed it down to three major things. I knew exactly which room I was in, what the time of day was, where I was facing, where the person was facing, I knew all of that. And I was able to go through that experience and just declare forgiveness. But the person wasn't present, but declare forgiveness there and to let go of that hurt, that rejection, and receive that healing immediately from God. So first we deal with what is our responsibility, where we've been wrong too, because there were things in my heart that were wrong, because I wanted to defend myself, and there were things that I had said that were wrong, and I had to own those things and and deal with them in order to be free. So first of all, dealing with what is our responsibility, and secondly, to let go what is not our responsibility. And I think there are two reasons possibly why it's not our responsibility. One, because it's out of our control. There's nothing we can do. The situation has moved in such a way that it's out of our control. Or it has already been dealt with, and you don't have to go back and dig it up and see what it looks like today, because it's already been dealt with. But I do strongly believe we are not responsible for things that others have said or done to us. But we are responsible for our reactions to what has been said or done to us. So we need to separate those things out. And then just to finish, sometimes we have to forget our successes. Sometimes it's easy to say, well, it was much better the way I did it, and I don't think much of the way you're doing it, but the old way was much better, and everything was very successful now. And sometimes we have to forget the successful thing. Maybe it was better the way that you did it, who knows? But that's not the point. Sometimes we have to forget those things, leave those behind, so that we can move on and find grace for people who do things differently. And so if you feel that you are slowing down, your body's going into safe mode because your head is facing one way and your feet are trying to walk forward, then it's time to forget what lies behind and to press forward. And sometimes you need someone alongside you to help you to face the way that, your feet are going.
Well, that's it really. I just finally, the final phrase was the one I started with, I press on. And I think it's a commitment. I think it's a prayer. It's a kind of a personal, Lord, me, right now, that's what I want to do. And as I press on, it's like, it's amazing what I think God might do. So Mark was telling me that last Sunday was great because there was some healings. Some healings or something like this, you know? And I'm going, that just sounds fantastic. What I want to say to you is, rather than just capture that as a moment and say, wasn't that great, why don't you let that become a bit movemental so that we expect a healing every week? And then some, you know, and then there's kind of a, so there's some faith that begins to rise and something begins to happen. And I think as we look to God and say, let's just see that what we're here to do is to keep moving on, and we cannot stand still, we can't stop still. And if we do this thing that Nestor said, if we're kind of looking back all the time, either for nostalgia reasons or for hurts or for any of those things, we're going to be distracted away from actually what God's called us to do, to serve this generation that we're in right now. So I want us just to pray for you. Is that all right?
Mm-hmm.
And you make your own personal prayer in this. You make your own personal commitment and dedication, as Nestor and I have done and needed to do during our season. But I also want to pray for you as a church as well. So, Lord, I want to thank you that you are alive, Lord,
yeah.
And that you are continually calling us forward. Lord, I thank you that your people are never being called to stand still, but you are calling us to continually move on, to press forwards. I thank you for Paul's statements and testimonies, that he, at whatever stage of his life it was straining for what is yet to come. And Lord, today we say that we want to be like that. We want to strain for what is yet to come.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, we know that there's, Lord, because we know you, there's greater things yet to come, greater things still to see. And therefore, Lord, we strain towards the future. And I pray for us right now, Lord, those of us that are praying this prayer now, Lord, we make a fresh commitment to move on, Lord. Move on in you. Move on in the ways that we need to do. Leaving things behind, straining for what's ahead, we press on, Lord, into that. And Lord, I pray for this church. Lord, I thank you for a seed, Lord, that is a faithful seed, a good quality. Lord, there's just something good about the seed here. And Lord, as the seed begins to grow and begins to develop, I pray, Lord, that the church itself would move on. that, Lord, the kind of where we've come to becomes a new watermark. It becomes a new point. It becomes a new step forward for what is yet to come. So I pray for the church, Lord, here, and I pray that these may be days and weeks and months, this coming year, of moving on. Lord, may they come to, at the end of this year, look back and say, God, we moved on this year. We know that we did. We've grown deeper. We've grown stronger. We've grown wider and longer. Lord, but we pray that the sense of moving on will be here for this church. And we thank you, Lord, that we say, we trust you. We trust you for that future. We trust you by leaving things behind, that there is yet greater things still to come in the future. So I pray blessing on this church. I pray blessing on every household, every individual, that we may move on into you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.